Blog Talk Radio. Coming live to you with this breaking news.
Breaking news number one. U.S. Department of Transportation announces $162.4 million in infrastructure grants August 14th by Marshall Alexander Adams. Washington, U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Elaine L. Chao today announced the Federal Aviation Administration will award $162.4 million in airport infrastructure grants to 72 airports in 31 states across the United States as part of the FAA's Airport Improvement Program. The Airport Improvement Program helps to maintain our aviation infrastructure and support safety, capacity, security, and environmental improvements, said Secretary Chao. This is an important investment in these airports and the economic vitality of their respective communities. A few of the named airports getting program grants are Pago Pago International Airport, America Samoa, $3 million. Norma Y. Mineta San Jose International Airport, San Jose, California, $3.2 million. Miami Executive Airport, Miami, Florida, $3.1 million. Miami International Airport, Miami, Florida, $23.5 million. McCall Municipal Airport in McCall, Idaho, $1.1 million. And Owensboro-Davies County Airport in Owensboro, Kentucky, $4.1 million. The full story, list of more airports along with what their funds will pay, and more in newsletter online August-December 2017 on our website.
Breaking news number two, FAA airport grants translate into vital infrastructure updates, August 15, 2017, by Rob Marsh. In government dollars, $162 million, might seem like chump change, especially when it gets split up 72 ways. But for the recipients of the airport grants announced by the FAA, the money means an opportunity to add or repair much-needed airport infrastructure. This award is part of the FAA's Airport Improvement Program. Grants awarded to airport sponsors help keep their facilities in top-notch condition in order to fulfill their role in the national airspace system. The AIP grant pays for new runways, taxiways, as well as their rehabilitation, airport signage, all those signs, needed lighting and markings, all of which help create thousands of jobs. You can see more in newsletter August-December 2017.
Breaking news, August 15, 2017. Ryanair has called on the United Kingdom airports to take necessary measures to prevent excessive alcohol consumption in the wake of an increased disruptive behavior from passengers traveling from British airports. The CAA reported a 600% increase in disruptive passenger incidents in the United Kingdom between 2012 and 2016, with most involving alcohol. As a result, Ryanair urged the airports to take a more responsible responsibility for this safety issue. Measures suggested, including banning of sale of alcohol in bars and restaurants in the airport before 10 a.m. You can see more of this in our newsletter, August to December 2017.
Breaking news number 4, UK government reveals aviation policy consultant on 8/16/2017. Manchester Airport will be expanded as the aviation sector develops in the UK, shaping aviation to help boost economic growth. Connectivity and skills will be in the center of a new strategy to prepare the industry for the next decade and beyond. The government announced today, the public are being asked to have their say on how this vital sector should respond to a range of technological and security, environmental, and customer services challenges. The review also said now the government can support future growth in an industry which directly supports 240,000 jobs and contributes at least £22 billion to the UK economy each year. Transportation Secretary Chris Grayling will today launch a public discussion to help shape and promote the future of the aviation industry both in 2050 and beyond. Airport bags check-in at the town entries and a luggage portering service are among a series of innovation ideas the public is being asked to view on. Other issues include possible new forms of compensation for noise or designing targets for noise reduction.
Hello, Eastern family. It's time for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. We're coming to you live from several locations around the United States. That's right. Our regular hosts are located in Florida, Georgia, Colorado, New York, Massachusetts. Oh, hey, that's me. I'm calling you from my Table Talk Radio. And it is one of those things that we enjoy doing, Neil, would you take it, please?
Yeah, well, I think Jim Hart is trying to tell you he's out on the beautiful island of Martha's Vineyard. Right, Jim?
Yes, right.
Okay, and from what we understand before we went on the air, he's preparing a delicious dinner of clam soup and whatever comes out of Martha's Vineyard. But we're so happy to have you with us tonight. Just a reminder about how to go about signing into the show and calling us if you have comments or just want to join the host. Here's all you need to do. Just go to www.ealradioshow.com and look for the radio icon on the home page. Click the arrow in the little circle at 7 p.m., and you can listen on your computer. You can also tune us in by going to blogtalkradio.com, Captain Eddie, at CAPTEDDIE, and of course we know who that is. Now, this site is the site of our provider, Blog Talk Radio. Now here's an easier way. Just go to your smartphone, your landline phone, whatever phone you have, just call 213-816-1611 and 7, and you can listen right on your phone. You can also join in the conversation by just saying hi, since all the microphones are open, that is, all the phones are open, and since you're already on the phone, we want to hear from you. So just say hello and express your comments. Now, let's get at this episode in the air with airplane. Well, it was new at the time. And, of course, I'm talking about the L-1011, the Lockheed L-1011. And let's see how it sounds on takeoff.
Oh. second, feel each minute. As the day goes by, feel yourself in it. It's a good day to up and fly away. It's so easy to do. Eastern's got the right time.
Travel in America is primed for a summer surge. More than 230 million passengers are expected to fly in the coming months. The packed flights can mean long security lines, delayed departures, missed connections, and frustrated passengers more than ever before. Outdated, overcrowded airports are in dire need of upgrades. Once at the forefront of aviation innovation, U.S. flight hubs in the 21st century are falling far behind their international competitors. Kevin Burke, president and CEO of Airports Council International, said people are going through airports built in the 50s, 60s, 70s. That infrastructure, largely unchanged for decades, is struggling now to service nearly a 12-fold spike in passenger volume. Vice President Joe Biden called LaGuardia a third world country. Traveler frustration has made for some rare common ground among quarreling presidential candidates and political leaders. Our airports are like the third world, Donald Trump said in February. Vice President Joe Biden used that same term to describe New York's LaGuardia Airport after a 2014 visit. On the campaign trail, Hillary Clinton said she was upset. We don't have a single airport in our country that is considered in the top 25 in the world, she said. Well, Doug Parker, the CEO of American Airlines, says the rhetoric does not match the reality. Quote, if you go to any airline check-in counter today, you won't see long lines, he told CNN. We made huge investments in making it much easier for customers to get from their cars to the airplane without waiting in long lines other than TSA, but that's not an infrastructure issue.
But so many frequent flyers, it's hard to tell where one holdup ends and the next backlog begins. In Kansas City, its airport has ranked among the nation's worst. New York and Los Angeles have earned a spot on the worst airport list in the past as well, mainly because of outdated terminals that cannot meet passenger capacity demand. We have gates that don't accommodate the A380 or expanded 747 or some of the modern aircraft that will be there, Burke says. Quote, somebody has to pay for that. In order to accommodate new aircraft, you have to adjust the airport. You have to adjust the taxiways, end of quote. New money is on the way for some airports, but a varied funding mechanism, the airlines, along with the federal, state, and local governments all chip in, often complicate the matter. The federal tax used to pay for airport construction projects, usually baked into passenger airfare, hasn't been adjusted for inflation in 16 years. The simpler, more robust systems powering global hubs show just how far the U.S. lags behind. South Korea's Incheon International, located about 90 minutes outside of Seoul, consistently ranks as one of the best in the world. With showers, spas, and on-site hotel, travelers can enjoy a concert while shopping at high-end retail stores.
The Airport Council International says Congress would need to invest an estimated $75 billion over the next 5 years to begin to complete the government-subsidized gyms in Asia and the Middle East. Quote, it's not a fair fight, Burke says. Quote, the governments recognize the importance of airports. Our government says it does, but they need to show it by increasing funding for us, unquote. Parker also points out the need for upgrades to the Federal Aviation Administration air traffic control system. Created in the 1960s during the first flight boom, the technology hasn't quite kept up with the times. Upgrading to real-time GPS locators that could unsung air traffic and speed up arrivals. It, quote, it takes longer to fly from point A to point B in the United States than it should, Parker says. For an industry that brings in about $1.6 trillion annually for the American economy, every second counts. Pardon my voice, folks.
Washington, U.S. airports have nearly $100 billion in infrastructure needs during running from 2017 to 2021 to accommodate growth in passenger and cargo activity, rehabilitate existing facilities, and support aircraft innovation, according to a new report released today by the Airports Council International North America, or ACI-NA. The trade association representing commercial services airports in the United States and Canada. Quote, America's airports have a real and significant unmet needs that threaten their ability to serve their passengers, grow their local economies, and create good-paying jobs, said ACI-NA President CEO Kevin M. Burke. Quote, the longer we delay, the more Americans' airports will fall behind and our infrastructure needs will become even more expensive to fix. Airport infrastructure needs 2017 to 2021 details the scope of airport infrastructure needs and projects, including those projects not eligible for airport improvement programs or AIP grant funding. ACI and NA estimates that U.S. airports have a collective funding need of $99.9 billion over the next 5 years and nearly $20 billion per year to begin those projects. Now, the latest $99.9 billion figure outlined in the infrastructure report represents a 32% increase in airport infrastructure needs since the last ACI-NA estimate released in 2015. Infrastructure needs at large, medium, and small hub airports that employ 99.8% of U.S. passenger traffic have increased nearly 42% in just the last 2 years. Now, 63% of the increase of infrastructure needs is attributed to passengers and cargo growth, with 30% attributed to the need to continually maintain a good state of repair for aging airport facilities. Of course, as the demand for passengers and cargo services continues to grow, so will the corresponding increase in airport infrastructure development and to maintain costs. Well, let's just talk about the ones that have made the top 10 in the U.S. For example, right here we got Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport up there in Georgia, right? As the country's busiest airport and largest airport, the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International delivers a high-tech experience to match its size. Of high importance in this digital age, access to outlets is plentiful and robust in the airport's gates, primarily led by Delta's initiative to install freestanding charging stations with multiple electrical outlets for USB ports, averaging a high 8.1 outlets per gate in the airport. Now, the airport also provides more than 200 powered workplaces, allowing passengers to recharge on the go. Recent advancements in high-tech marketing incorporate QR codes on advertisements throughout the airport, rewarding customers who scan the codes with special promotions and discounts in the airport shops and restaurants. Chuck?
Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, number two. When traveling through Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, plan to arrive early enough to enjoy one of the terminal's 1200 integrated iPads throughout Delta's Concourse G, located throughout the terminal. And at almost every seat inside the terminal, 9 restaurants, travelers are able to tap and swipe their way through the virtual menu to customize orders that are delivered to their table and gates in 15 minutes or less. The iPad also offers entertainment, access to Facebook, Twitter, and the ability to check your email. Wi-Fi, free, premium service that is faster, ad-free, is available for $2.95 for 24-hour use.
Number 3, Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, making great strides in offering a high-tech travel experience. Dallas-Fort Worth International partnered with Samsung to enhance many of the airport's gates. Now, the partnership has spun dozens of charging stations and several mobile travel lodges, modern and sleek public lounges that offer respite from the chaos of the gate and providing plenty of outlets for all seating stations. Now, when it comes to the frustrations of parking your car, DFW has created a new hassle-free parking facility for Terminal A, upgrading the structure with sensors and lights above each parking space. Red and green signals provide drivers real-time info on occupied and unoccupied spaces, dramatically reducing the stress of seeking out an available spot. Continuing to advance in functionality, the Smart Garage is synced to the airport's mobile app, giving customers advanced info on parking availability, and the Wi-Fi is free.
Number 4, Chicago O'Hare International Airport, one of the busiest airports in the country. Chicago O'Hare International Airport has continued to expand at high-tech offerings to meet the demands of its worldly customers. Partnering with two apps, FlySmart and Before You Board, O'Hare offers fresh meal delivery to your gate along with a host of other navigation features, special offers, flight status updates. Most excitingly, O'Hare is in the works to unveil a new mobile platform to enable travelers to submit their passports and custom declaration information via their smartphone. Perhaps one of the most innovative advances in airport hygiene, most of the toilets at O'Hare now feature motorized toilet seat covers that provide a fresh plastic cover for each use. Wi-Fi. First 20 minutes are free. Additional time is $6.95 for a 24-hour period provided by Bungo.
Well, number 5 is Austin-Bergstrom International Airport, as one of the first airports in the country to feature Wi-Fi back in 2000. The Austin-Bergstrom International Airport has always been on the forefront of tech-forward travel. Arriving in the airport from an international destination could not be simpler, as the airport's 8 automated passport control kiosks and 6 float entry kiosks significantly help in expediting screening. The smart new automated passport control kiosk: scan your passport, take your photograph, and provide a series of questions verifying biographic and flight information before issuing a receipt to you that is brought to a customs officer. Austin Bergstrom's one-stop innovation allows international passengers to pick up their checked luggage first, so the passengers and luggage can be cleared in one step. As for Wi-Fi, 90 minutes are free. Additional time is $7.95 for a 24-hour period. It's provided by Bungo Unlimited.
And number 6, Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, also known as SeaTac. Charging the way, literally, to eco-friendly advancements. SeaTac Airport has recently installed 48 electric car charging stations in its parking garage, one of the few exciting new advancements in the Northwest hubs. And when in the airport, you can load up a lap and access the airport's handy splash page that gives you an estimate on your location along with nearby eateries and facilities, as well as updates on flights, including times, and the Wi-Fi is free.
Number 7 is McCarran International Airport. It's no gamble flying in or out of Las Vegas. McCarran International Airport has recent tech-forward advancements have streamlined the airport into a high-tech destination unto itself. Advancing boarding technology, Terminal 3's new self-boarding podiums allow passengers to scan their boarding pass, and enter a secure door without the help of an attendant. Partnering with Google, intuitive navigation throughout the airport and free recharge zones are easily identified on the Google Maps app available on all smartphone devices. The Wi-Fi is free.
Number 8 is Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport. In an exciting tech-forward first, Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport has unveiled the country's first mobile airport tracking system, BlipTrack. Through monitoring travelers' smartphones and Wi-Fi-equipped devices, BlipTrack is available to identify congested areas and display wait times for security checkpoints, assuaging anxiety of long lines. Big Brother doesn't overextend its reach, as BlipTrack is not configured to gather data to identify your device, keeping all devices and passengers in the system anonymous. Using the new system, the airport has made great strides in perfecting its service, getting passengers to the gate quicker and more efficiently, and the Wi-Fi is free.
And my favorite, number 9, SFO, San Francisco International Airport. Emerging as a leader in the state-of-the-art travel advancements, SFO International, greatly influenced by its proximity to Silicon Valley. Most recently, the airport installed one of the world's first indoor airport navigation systems for the company, indoors.rs. Outfitted with 500 beacons in Terminal 2 in its first test phase. Now, each beacon reveals a point of interest through a phone app via Bluetooth technology, helping visually impaired passengers to make their way through the airport. Plans to further incorporate their system to all passengers are in the works. Now, the airport has also drawn inspiration from a modern-day high-tech office, providing an 850-square-foot co-working space, hashtag Converge at FlySFO, where abundant power outlets, free Wi-Fi, and a floor-to-ceiling erasable whiteboard are free for use for all travelers. Wi-Fi is free, and with the recent expansion to provide service that extends far enough to be accessed while at the gate and onboard the aircraft as well.
Number 10, Sacramento International Airport was awarded the LEED Silver Certification for its $1.3 billion Terminal B modernization project, which was completed in 2011. The high-tech green terminal features a long list of efficient heating and cooling advancements, including a heat-reflecting cool roof and glass windows that let light in while minimizing heat. Most ingenious is the terminal's operation in its, quote, common-use gate system, an open-source gate system allowing for any airline to operate out of any gate. Passengers flying on any airline have the convenience of using any kiosk in the airport to print boarding passes and check in on their flight options without seeking a specific airline portal. And again, there's a free Wi-Fi involved.
As you notice, not one New York airport made the list. However, it's soon to change. Delta is placing great importance in the LaGuardia Airport serving New York City as it receives breaking news status in last week's EAL radio show, and we'll repeat it again. Breaking news, Delta Airline breaks ground on a $4 billion LaGuardia Airport development by Travelers News. Delta Airlines has broken ground on its $4 billion 37-gate facility at LaGuardia Airport. A major component of the transformation of the vital hub into a completely rebuilt, unified 21st century airport, Delta's chief executive, Ed Burstyn, joined New York Governor Cuomo in the incoming director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Rick Cotton, Queensborough President Melinda Kratz, and other dignitaries for a press conference and groundbreaking to mark Delta's largest airport investment in its history. LaGuardia is a pillar of New York's transportation and a key driver, said Cuomo. Here are some of the things that we remember about the Eastern Airlines airport throughout the years. Maybe we can discuss them as we go along. Washington National,
well,
New York LaGuardia.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Chuck. Let's stop right here
okay.
and just discuss each one of these. But we've read you the news, and we know what's happening. It sounds like most of it, the infrastructure, as we wanted to talk about, is mainly high-tech technology, digital and all the high-tech computer applications that are good for our smartphones and so forth. And some of the airports have not been keeping up with the modernization of terminals, let's say, the runways, the layouts, as we recognize that great airports of the world now not are in this country, but are overseas. And I think one that is often talked about is Dubai. And as a matter of fact, Emery Martinelli, my helper here on the radio, he plugs in anything that I need. And he was telling me about the airport in Dubai, which he was there not too long ago. And even the bathrooms that are in the terminal, there are separate restrooms, and then there are facilities that when you go in, there's someone to greet you and welcome you to the restroom, believe it or not. And first of all, checks the availability of the stall, and also goes into the stall, sprays it hygienically, sanitization, and make sure it's ready and all in a few seconds. And then it says, welcome, you know, it's yours to use or whatever they say. And you know, that's quite a thing there. And I think we just mentioned in the report, I forgot who read it, who read that report about the restrooms, and I forgot which airport. Does anybody remember?
Yes.
It was about the toilet seat.
Yeah, the toilet seats. Now, that's a new one,
yeah.
The toilet seats. But you know, this is a lot of this stuff is
sounds
really
like
just
something
kind of,
I had in the hospital.
Yeah.
A lot of this is just cosmetics. And really, the big airport news is he was telling me that Istanbul now is building the biggest airport in the world over in Turkey. And it's huge, and it's going to be open in about 2 years, he was telling me. And when we look at our airports, of course, the busiest one is Atlanta International Airport, and Atlanta has really come of age. It's been leading, I think, in my opinion, when they first opened the center terminals, the center midfield terminals, I think they were called, and they closed the old Atlanta airport down. I mean, the Atlanta the terminal down. And we moved over there. Boy, that was really it was a unique terminal. And with all the HAL that we used to announce the departure of the sky trains that take you from one concourse to the other. And so I remember the first airport that I flew out of with Eastern Airlines, and perhaps you guys can tell me about your airport that you know a little bit about and how it's improved over the years. But Washington National, Reagan International now, I think it's called, and right there by the Potomac, on the Potomac. And at one time, when I first got to Washington, we had the military base right across the river, and I forgot the name of the airport. Somebody help me out.
Washington Langley.
No, the military base right across. There were two airports right there on the Potomac, right beside each other, separated by the Potomac River.
Edwards.
And the old one was I can't think of the name of the field, but actually we're using it. It was military, and.
Ken
but
said
I remember
Edwards
the terminal.
Said,
and, huh?
Ken said Edwards.
No, it wasn't Edwards either.
It was.
I mean,
okay.
Andrews Air Force Base.
Go ahead.
It was an Air Force base, or it was a hybrid.
It was a Navy base. I think it was Navy, but it'll come to me in a minute. Golly, this was back in the late 50s, early 60s, and they shut it down. And so we had to contend with military landing along with the commercial airplanes over at Washington National. And the terminal was pretty decent. So that's my early introduction to commercial aviation terminals and airports. And Washington National hasn't changed that much, except for the terminal, I guess, parking. But do you recall the old Airweight station that we had there? It was called Airweight. And the crews used it from time to time, those crews that had a short layover of about 4 hours before they went to took another trip out. And we were able to go over to the Airweight, which looked like a mobile home on a pedestal. And there were about four units. Four units in each one. Linda, I know you remember it.
Hey, I just asked Eston about that naval base you were trying to think of. Bowling field.
Bowling. I wanted to say bowling, but I couldn't get it out of my mouth. Okay. Thank you, Eston. And is he right there with you, Linda?
Yeah, I'm on, Neil.
Okay, anytime you want to jump in and bail us out, you just go right ahead, Eston.
Okay, well, I haven't been listening in tonight.
But you remember the Airweight that we had at Washington National, and I thought that was so far advanced from any airport that you could actually spend about 4 hours and get a shower. There's a toilet there and, of course, a bed and a television right above your bed. Do you remember those, Eston?
At the Washington National?
Yeah. Yeah, Washington National Airport had them. And they were like a mobile home on a pedestal. And you would go up.
Yeah, there were five or six of them there.
Yeah, there were five or six of them all lined up. And I thought that was the neatest idea to have.
I remember they used to use those for a short layover for us.
About 4 hours, yeah.
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 And all it was a bed and a lavatory is all you had, but that was enough.
Yeah. It was pretty neat. I thought it was really neat. And passengers could use it as well. And Eastern, of course, contracted for short layovers, and that's where we laid over right there at the airport. I thought that was well advanced for its time back in the early 60s. And then
two airports across the Potomac, Anacostia and Bowling.
Anacostia Field, and Bowling. Bowling was directly across from National.
Yeah.
And you remember landing when the field was active. I mean, they had airplanes from the military landing and airplanes commercially landing on the other side of the river.
Yeah. We'd go up the river, the Anacostia River, and hug the right side and make a left turn into 3-2. I remember doing that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I probably was on a trip with you.
You guys are outdating yourselves.
Well, New York LaGuardia Airport. Let's go to LaGuardia. Let's pick on LaGuardia for a while. LaGuardia hasn't changed over the many, many years, and it looks like Delta Airlines is going to attempt to modernize at least its facility there. But, of course, Eastern was there for so long, and we pretty much, it was almost an Eastern airport for a while, right, Eston? Yeah.
I sure remember those approaches. You'd head up toward Runway 4 and break off on the Grand Central Parkway and go to the Shea Stadium where the old World's Fair was, hang a left, and to land on 3-2. Remember that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It was so much fun to take a 1011 and come up the Van Wyck Expressway and hook a left, like Destin said, at the Shea Stadium. And it's all visual. And as soon as you turned around Shea, you were lined up for the runway. And a big airplane like that, it was kind of fun. It really was fun to maneuver into LaGuardia.
Well, I'm going to give Linda back to you here, Neil.
Okay. Good to hear from you, Eston.
Indianapolis Airport, that is where I flew out to come to go to Atlanta for my Eastern interview. And, boy, they have modernized it. I wish I could tell you. I think they've won awards, but it is far out. I mean, they have really done so much renovation. My daughter got permission somehow for Eston to tour it before it was officially open. So I wish I had official information in front of me, but it's awesome.
Well, New York, of course, when Eston and I first flew out of New York, it was called Idlewild.
Yeah.
And then it was changed to Kennedy International. And so New York, of course, we had our own building there. And at the time, it was a very modern building, and we had our own terminal there. And I don't know what improvements the Idlewild. I was hoping George Jen would be with us tonight to tell us about that, but don't think much have changed with the three new. Well, Newark has changed considerably over the years. And the Atlanta airport, of course, we've talked about. Orlando, now there was an interesting airport, Orlando International, because it used to be a military base when Eastern operated out of Orlando. It was called McCoy Air Force Base. And the runway that we used jointly with the Air Force. It was on one side of the field, and the terminal was on the other side, if you could call it a terminal. And when Disney came to Orlando, things changed rapidly. And the airport, of course, the old airport, that the terminal that we use, I don't even know whether it's still there or not, but they built the modern terminal that they have now.
Airplanes that they had on pedestals are still there.
Are they?
Yeah, there's one or two of them still there.
Where are they located?
One of them is on the what you would have considered in the old days the McCoy side.
Yeah.
I believe it's a 29. I'm not too sure. B-29. But I remember they had a B-52 on a pedestal too, years and years ago. I think that was taken down.
Yeah.
But I remember when I first started in the Air Force. Going there in the military, on the military side of the airport.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that, because we were used to going on a military base, and of course they had their own runways. And it was kind of unusual to see the two planes mixed. You'd have a military plane, maybe one or two, and then you'd have a civilian plane, you know, on the waiting to take off.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it was
you're
fun
right.
to watch it. Yeah.
Once Disney World moved in, they really upgraded the place.
Yeah. And then Chicago O'Hare. Chicago, golly, I haven't been in the airport in a long, long time, but I'm sure there are many, many improvements there. Ken, tell me about, if you know anything, Ken Allen, if you know anything about Tampa, because I haven't been to Tampa area. You live down in Sarasota-Bradenton area, but have you had the occasion to go out to Tampa and see what's happening there?
You know, I haven't, but I'm sure there's more USB ports than you can shake a stick at. That seems to be the way, you know. Thinking back like you guys do, it's been so many years since I've been in an airport. I mean, this sounds really ancient, but they're all gone now. So that's what I go back to. And, yeah, they have USB ports everywhere because everybody's needing to charge their phones. But No, the last time I was there, I mean, it's beautiful, it's luxurious. You know, with the book I recently launched, I contacted something called Paradisi. It looks like paradise. Well, they're in 1,700 airports all over the world, and they control everything, the candy, the books, the sodas. And they haven't gotten back to me yet, but I got to pictures online. That's the last time I literally did a virtual tour through TIA, Tampa International Airport, Tampa Air Center. But it's just gorgeous. It's absolutely luxurious, you know, moving sidewalks and all that stuff. Much of my career prior to Alaska, you know, SeaTac, I mentioned that earlier, that was a dinosaur when I was there last. And, of course, I was only there for a couple years, and that was in the early 2000s. I left. I'm glad to see that they're really getting the upgrade. But, you know, for much of my career prior to that was a commuter captain, and I flew on those EAS rats, that Essential Air Service, if you're familiar with them. Yeah. And we went into non-tower airports, and we went into airports that were, you know, just really, you know, pretty rustic. And you mentioned about the hybrid earlier with bowling. I went into Eglin. You guys ever been in there? Eglin Air Force. Yeah, Eglin Air Force Base is Picola. And the coolest thing about that is there's nothing like having a couple Strike Eagles in front of you launching when you go to take off, which I thought was the coolest thing. But, the flight from Panama City to Pensacola, I mean, we know more got airborne, and, you know, the beach liner I flew was like a metro liner. It was about 300 knots over the ground. I mean, no more than you took off, it was time to land. So things happen real quick. But, overseas I think they are a lot more advanced. But we're going to get there. I pray we do. Sarasota, Bradenton, again, I haven't – guys, I got to be honest with you. I've been so far removed from aviation for so long, I can't think of when the last time I was in an airport. But, yeah, these young kids in the generation today, they're just going like gangbusters. I'm sure it's more. And I love the what I was reading about, was it Atlanta, I think? It seems really cool. I'm willing to bet, like at TIA and these airports, what's going to happen is, you know how you go up that, you know, that spiral staircase drive up the parking lot? What's cool is that, yeah, you'll be able to see a big red bar right over top before knowing, don't even get off on the fourth floor, right? Because there's no parking spots. It's about time. Yeah, we've got on board with this. So you just go to the fifth or the sixth floor or whatever. And then, yeah, when you look down that aisle, if you see nothing but red bars on the overhead or on your phone, you know to not even pull down there. So I think it's great that we're getting on board. Yeah, we're finally using – it seems like we've got more information than we've ever had, but we're doing less than we ever did. You know, everything's so busy with technology these days, and I've really found that out to be true in the medical field. But this is great, though, as far as weather delays and maintenance delays and ground holds and things like that, that we can really use this real-time technology with air traffic control to know when to push, to not get stuck on the ramp, to not to stay out of each other's way. Because you guys can imagine today it's just busier than ever. When you call for a push, and then it's a competition thing to get out there and get in line to take off. So, I haven't been. But Sarasota Bradenton's always been a delicious airport. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but there's landing fees. So that's why nobody comes in here. I don't know if you know that or not. Even Southwest doesn't come in here. They got real close. But there's United, there's US Air and JetBlue. What used to be US Air, I guess, JetBlue and Air Canada has seasonal flights in here, but it's real expensive to come into, but it's really just beautiful. The last film, one of the last places I saw the inside of the airport, you guys are going to think this is crazy. You know who came and walked through there? I got it on a film on WWSB Channel 40. You know who got off the airplane and walked in? Jimmy Stewart. Yeah. Uh-huh. Walk through Sarasota Bradenton Airport. Yeah, they had him on film, WWSB Channel 40. So that's how I remember it. I was an aircraft refueler there, too, and those were the old days. I have a tendency to stay in the old days, guys. Sorry. It's just where I am. And by the way, if you take contributions, I would like some week or month to hear Bobby Darin's Beyond the Sea. That's one of my favorite songs.
And I had him on a flight.
Good.
Yeah, you mentioned him when you were on the other time. You mentioned Bobby Darin.
I love that song. It's so great. It just takes me back, you know, and that whole
just
thing.
The same thing.
Yeah, who was it?
I'll
yes,
put that on
I'm
the
sorry.
List.
Okay.
Fun song to play.
Did you ever run into the layout in Tokyo's airport where they have the sleep cubicles?
No, never been there.
No.
Yeah, I saw it on television that you can rent in this little cubicle. It looks like a coffin, but it has a TV set in it. It's air conditioned and everything else, and you can rent it by the hour.
Sounds like the airweight in Washington National to me. Well, let me move on with a couple of other airports that I want to mention tonight, and one that I live here in Jacksonville, Florida, and when I first came with the company, the airport here in Jacksonville was Imeson, I-M-E-S-O-N, Imeson. It was named after a politician, of course, and it's now an industrial area because in 1965, they relocated just a few miles to the northwest of the Imeson Airport with the new Jacksonville International Airport, and it's a beautiful field. Not as busy as I'm sure folks with the Chamber of Commerce would like it, but it's a very beautiful terminal, and I think all big terminals now, even Jacksonville, has a mini shopping mall in it.
Wow.
With food courts and art shows and you name it. They've got all sorts of retail spaces and things like that. And so that's interesting how that concept has changed over the years. And I remember they used to have a little box that they kept a kiosk type on the terminal concourse where you could buy a flight insurance because you wanted to get that insurance in case the airplane crashed. And you were insured for your family as a beneficiary. You guys remember that? Esten,
yeah.
I do.
And Linda, you remember it too. And Chuck, we all remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Moonies, the Moon the cult, the religious cult came about, and they used to practice their church services right there in the terminal. Robert Sack and Airplane got tired of that, and if you remember the scene in the airplane, but he knocked them all down. But we've really changed over the years. Can anybody tell me what airport served Houston, Texas International Airport, HIA, IH, I guess it's identified by. What was the airport
Hobie
before?
Airport.
Who?
Hobie
International Airport.
Yeah.
And that was the airport before Houston International Airport was built, and out in the boondocks, way outside of Houston. But I can recall a flight I had on the Electra at Hobie International. And they used to walk right out to the airplane because we had no jetways. And one of the passengers that we had on the Electra, and I think we were going back to Atlanta and connecting to wherever, was John Glenn. And the astronaut. And so having him on board, I took the opportunity to ask him to sign my little doily that we put on the food trays, and I had him sign it and say a few choice words that I asked him, and I had a flight school at the time, and I asked him to say, without Georgia Flyers, I couldn't have made it, signed John Glenn. And I had that for a long, long time at our school.
Talk about a commercial.
Yeah, I took advantage of things like that. But, yeah, how about Dallas International Airport? What was the field that served Dallas before DFW? What was the field?
It was Love, wasn't
Dallas?
It?
Love Field. Yeah. And then New Orleans International Airport. What was the name of? What is the name of New Orleans International Airport?
Moissant.
Yeah. And it was below sea level.
Yeah,
do you remember that? The airport
was
below sea level?
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, Neil, about McCoy in Orlando. When I started working for the feeder, well, it was long before that, they split. But there's still MCO, perhaps you know. And then there's Orlando Executive. And there's actually there's Sanford, Orlando Executive, McCoy, and ORL, Orlando. There's a whole bunch of different airports right in that same area, but how they've changed names over the year. But what
That's
I think
right.
of is Southwest, when you guys say first, because you ever seen the heart they have on the side of their 737? It says first in love.
No, I
don't know what they do. On the side of their 7-3, on the captain's side or the FO, it says first in love with that heart.
Huh.
And that's what I think that means, yeah. I know that Herb Kelleher arm wrestled for the name to that airline. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
That's back when they had 727s. I got a friend that's got a 727 Southwest, yeah, airline on the ramp. And they were competing, and Herb Kelleher said, "I'll arm wrestle you for it." Yeah, it's in the book Nuts. And so he arm wrestled and beat the guy, and he got the name for the airline rather than avoiding a lawsuit. Isn't that cool?
They said
first in love. And then for years they could not go into DFW, and that had to do something with the Department of Commerce or something in Washington. But Love Field was something I went into many times and absolutely loved
okay.
it. So.
Yeah. Texas International, I think, operated out of there too. I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Wow.
And
okay.
Over at Hobby International, Texas International,
yes.
before when it was operating down there. Jim Hart, are
yes.
you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Can you remember back in the old days when you were up in the New York area about the three New York airports?
What about them?
Well, I just was wondering whether you – remembered the state of condition of the three airports. So you worked out of the New York area, didn't you?
Yes, I did. In fact, at that time, Newark was sort of a favorite because it was very easy to get to.
Yeah.
Both LaGuardia and at that time, Idlewild or JFK, you had to either take a cab, and they didn't have much in the way of bus service going there. Now, of course, they have a train, but that's many years later.
Yeah, you know, out of Newark, I remember when we used to land at Newark and lay over in New York City, we used to take the bus 101 over to Penn Station, Penn Central there, where it pulled in, and we would use underneath the sidewalks, the subway, to get from the bus terminal there and the train terminal.
Port Authority building.
Port Authority, that's what I'm looking for, the Port Authority building.
Yeah.
And we
I used to take
to
bus number 107 to the Port Authority.
Yeah, 101 and the 107, that's right, yeah. And those were the good days. They were great. It was a lot of fun. And
maybe for a future show, does anybody know how they determine the three-letter identifier for airports? Because Sarasota at SRQ, I never have gotten an answer on that, and I've asked a lot of people. Does anybody know how they come up with the three-letter identifiers for an airport or who decides on that?
Well, we had a show.
Called Sarasota.
Sarasota.
I like that. Sarasota.
Well, early in Eastern's history, Ken, we used two-letter codes. For station identifiers.
Okay.
And I forgot when they changed over to three-letter codes, but that would be a good show that we could do. And then, of course, the International came with the K, the letter K, Kilo,
yes.
and attached in front of it. But, that would be a good thing to talk about, how these airports were named and who named them. You know, like Chicago, O'Hare. Where did the name O'Hare come from? Of course, we know
mm-hmm.
Butch O'Hare was in the Navy, and he died.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a war hero, World War II hero. And a lot of people don't know where the O'Hare is located, and it was called, what's the name of the Grove, G-R-O-V-E, somebody, Jim Hart, help me out. It was, I wanted to say Morton Grove, but it wasn't Morton Grove. It was something else.
Is that part of the back 40?
Yeah, some of these names that they came up with. LaGuardia, of course, we know is the mayor of New York City, LaGuardia, and
right.
Mayor LaGuardia. And
like Cincinnati is really in Covington, Kentucky, CVG.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
The one in Orlando where it used to be called McCoy, isn't that a general?
Yeah, it might have been. It probably was a military
yes.
Person, McCoy, yeah.
I have to look that up.
You know, on another note real quick, I don't know if anybody else has ever seen this, just as a note real quick. When I was in ground school for a commuter, there was a gentleman from New Hampshire. This has to do with an approach plate in New Hampshire, and they always had that four-letter. They had the identifiers either for waypoints, outer marker, inner marker,
yeah.
Missed approach point, and published hold. And ITAW was the initial approach fix, ITAW or something. And then the final approach fix inbound was ITAW. And then the missed approach point was APUD, I think, or something like that. And then the published hold was ID'd, IDED. So if you read it, it says ITAW APUD TAT ID'd. whoever sat down and made that, and you know, I looked at it. This gentleman Harris gave it to me, and I didn't get it. He goes, "Look at that approach. What do you think of it? Isn't that cute, though?" I thought that was neat that whoever put together that NOS published approach procedure for this airport in New Hampshire. So I thought that was neat too. Maybe that would be cool sometime if we could go over approach plates, because there's some bizarre stuff on there. I'm sure you guys know if you've ever looked at them.
Oh yeah.
Is that,
oh yeah.
That you're talking about in New Hampshire?
Yes,
what?
Ma'am. And I do not know. I'll have to look it up. I don't know the airport, but I'll find it for you guys and try to send it to you. I'll have to research that one.
Okay.
Probably Jefferson now. Yeah.
Okay.
And don't forget
well.
Off. That we have the airports, the new airports and the vintage airports listed on our website under the EAL history.
Yes, I saw that.
Craft some of the airports, the old and the new, are listed there. So some very nice pictures to take a look at.
Well, Dorothy, you've added so much event to the website. It's just incredible is there available. Linda?
Well, those are some of the ones that Eastern had gone to, not just the airports, but one of the Eastern ones that you guys flew in and out of.
Yeah. Well, that's about all we can talk about airports on this segment of our show. And Ken, it's great having you with us after last week's performance. That was one of the best shows we've ever had.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Your being our guest and talking about dementia and Alzheimer's. And
Thank you. And don't forget to look on the website underneath testimonials, so some of the input that we got from the members for anyone to do so. Very, very interesting.
Yes.
But don't forget, Neil, I would like to mention a few of the new members that we have. We have two or three.
Well, Dorothy, before you do that, Ken has got something he wants to add to that.
Okay,
sure. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say. Sorry, Neil. Maybe you can brief me on that better. I'm just lost right now. You mean in terms of...
I thought you were going to make a remark there, and I wanted you to, before Dorothy told us about, tells us about our...
I still don't think Ken is old enough to remember those payphones. He sounds like a kid.
I remember, you know, when I was a little kid in the late 60s and early 70s with my dad, of course, we all went standby, right? We all looked like we were going to church, you know, because we were all dressed up. Yeah, you know, and when my oldest brother, Steve,
nice.
he's Yeah, well, he's 9 years older than I am. You know, they gave you cigarettes and stuff, and your little pack of cigarettes and trinkets and everything, and the first-class meals were just so delicious. And but, you know, kind of waiting there in the gate, you know, as the plane fills up, and my dad, you know, kind of looking at us, and we're looking at him, not knowing if we're going to get on. It was exciting. He took us to Mexico. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Save that for next week, because we want to hear you tell about that, all right?
Okay.
Because we're going to have the Bratz of the Eastern family on our show next week. And
that's
my daughter
right.
is already prepared a list, and I think Linda's daughter has too.
Yeah. Ken, there's no pressure, but if you don't show up, we're going to come looking for you.
Well, yeah, so
you
I'll
be
show
on that,
up.
You got to be on that show. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
I can't wait. It sounds really exciting, and I'll try
and
to
I
drag
bet
as
you,
many people I can with me.
I bet you, Ken, that you're going to have a lot of kids that you hear on the show express the same feelings about the same things.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I had a great time. It was very much a part of our whole life. Last thing I'll leave you with this. If I could say, please, my father had the coolest thing in the basement in Maryland where we lived out on the farm, that they had on the side of the road, landing, on the wall. It took up the whole wall, and it was a 3D poster, pixeled. In that day in the 70s, made it with the tiny dots. So no matter where you stood, left or right in the room, the plane was always coming right towards you. It's great. I'll have to send in pictures. But I love you guys. I love Eastern Airlines. It's literally in my blood, and it's great being here tonight.
Well, it's good to have you with us.
Thank
Dorothy, we've got some new members that just came on. Can you tell us about that, Dorothy?
Yes. One that is named Jim. Some of them I don't have last names for. Jim joined us on August 9th, and he's an airline professional with 38 years in the industry. And he's from an Eastern family, and I'm going to save all his profile that he wrote in about his Eastern family, and we'll talk about that next week. We have another gal that joined us, Carolyn, and she joined Eastern as a flight attendant in 1966 to 1991. She flew in New York and Atlanta and was with EAL right to the end. We had a new one that we had this weekend, Carlene DeFelice, and she was an Eastern flight attendant 1964 to 1971, and she also flew with United from 1991 to 2003. She has a husband who was also a former EAL captain, pilot Andy DeFelice. He was in 1966 to 1989. I'm going to save the rest of that because Colleen is going to be joining us for the Silver Liners sometime in October. We're working on the dates right now, so you guys just put that on your itinerary that in October, we're going to have the Silver Liners come back and join us for another program. So let me just let you know what's coming up on our calendar. We have the episode 332 being the Eastern Family Bratz, and I'd like to encourage all of our Eastern family to join us with their children. And if you are one of being a child yourself that grew up, we'd like to hear your story as well. So join us at 7 p.m. next week. The following week, September 4th, there won't be any broadcast because we're going to be traveling up to St. Augustine to go with Neil up to the REPA convention. So we'll be gone for that week, and there won't be any broadcast, nor will there be a Thursday from the Eastern Files. The following September 11th, we have honoring the 16th anniversary of September 11th. That, too, will be another special event. Of course, keep on your calendar that September 25th, we're going to have the Hall of Fame tribute to former Eastern Captain Steve Thompson. We'd like everybody to join us and to remember someone that was so special to all of us. There's breaking news now that's on the website. Anytime you guys want to take a look at that, we try to keep it updated with what we present on Monday evenings, And if there's something new up there, well, that will be great for you to look at, too, because we have a lot going on the website, and we'd love you to join us and look at it. You'll spend many, many hours up there looking at all the different things, especially our Eastern history that we have up there. You kind of look back on it, remember some of the wonderful things that have happened over the years. It really leaves a good place in your heart. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, and don't forget, stick around after we sign off, because we usually play a couple of songs that you may not have heard for a long, long time. And we have two of those tonight after Jim Hart signs us off. But first, Jim, we're going to land the airplane, so let's put the airplane on the ground.
Landing, Captain Steve. Mr. Producer, another outstanding job on the board. You know, it's always fun when we talk about Eastern Airlines or the new Eastern Airlines and the place where we work and the stories that we all share. We feel we've truly earned the title, the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And it's all because of you, our callers, our listeners, our guests, hosts, and our sponsor, REPA, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. We look forward to our Eastern family and friends joining us again on August 28th when we feature sons and daughters of Eastern people. Hopefully, we'll get some insight into what they endured being an Eastern brat. Until then, we all say good night, Eastern. We love you, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern. We love you.
Good night, Eastern. We love you.
Good night, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern. We love
I can do a total eclipse of the heart.
Adieu to you and you and you. Ba 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 ba.